We welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Nityananda Trayodasi in the most merciful presence of Sri Srinivasa Gaurahari and other deities. We shall read two verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, The Glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram, Text 208. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Text 208. Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara.
Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara.
Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara.
Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara.
Yeya Gepadaye Tare Karaye Nistara.
Yeya Gepadaye Tare Karaye Nistara.
Ateva Nistarila Mohena Durachara.
Ateva Nistarila Mohena Durachara.
In ecstatic love.
In ecstatic love.
Mata.
Mata.
Mad.
Mad.
Nityananda.
Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda,
Lord Nityananda.
Kripa,
Kripa,
Merciful,
Merciful.
Avatara,
Avatara,
Incarnation,
Incarnation.
Uttama,
Uttama.
Good.
Good,
Adama,
Adama.
Bad, Kichu,
Kichu.
Any.
Any,
Na,
Na.
Not.
Na.
Kare,
kare.
Makes.
Makes.
Vichara.
Vichara.
Consideration.
Consideration.
Translation. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Please repeat. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love.
Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love.
And is an incarnation of mercy.
Incarnation of mercy.
He does not distinguish.
He does not distinguish.
Between the good and the bad.
Between the good and the bad.
Text 209.
Yea. Yea.
Whoever.
Whoever.
Age.
Age.
In front.
In front.
Padaye.
Padaye.
Falls down.
Falls down.
Tare.
Tare.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Kareye.
Kareye.
Does.
Does.
Nistara.
Nistara.
Deliverance.
Deliverance.
Ateva.
Ateva.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Nistarila.
Nistarila.
Delivered. Mo,
Mo,
as me,
as me.
Hena,
Hena,
such,
such.
Durachara,
Durachara,
sinful and fallen person,
sinful and fallen person.
He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. Please repeat. He delivers all those who fall down before him.
He delivers all those who fall down before him.
Therefore, he has delivered
such a sinful and fallen person
as me. So first, we shall discuss some of the important words in these verses so that we can understand the direct meaning. And then we will see how the verses apply to us. Preme means an ecstatic love. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, following Srila Rupa Goswami, has explained that there are different stages in bhakti, but the highest goal of attainment is prema, prema bhakti, or pure love for Godhead. And Nityananda Prabhu, although he is the first expansion of Krishna, in other words, he is an incarnation of Balaram, or we could say he's the first expansion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also feels ecstatic love, and he is intoxicated by such ecstatic love. Kripa Avatar is an incarnation of mercy. The word avatar literally means one who descends. So Nityananda Prabhu descended from the spiritual world along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically to deliver mercy. And in doing so, he did not distinguish between the good and the bad or the high and the low. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, ataeva, nistara ataeva. He delivered one as durachar, sinful as and fallen. In other words, being durachar is not a disqualification to receive Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, as long as one has the qualification. And the qualification is Age Padaye Tare, that one should fall down before him. In other words, one should be humble. Nityananda Prabhu is the original spiritual master because he is the first expansion of the Lord. He's the first servant of the Lord. And he is the first to give knowledge of the Lord outside of the Lord himself. And as such, he acts as the first spiritual master, because the duty of the spiritual master is to give knowledge of the Lord and to engage in the service of the Lord. So Nityananda Prabhu does both. And this qualification, Age Padaye Tare, to fall down before him, is also the qualification of any disciple, the first qualification of any disciple, to bow down before the spiritual master, fall down, or in other words, to surrender to the spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashtena sevaya. First, pranipat. You have to fall down before the spiritual master, surrender to the spiritual master. And anyone who falls down before Nityananda Prabhu, even though he may be durachar, sinful and fallen, he will be delivered. And how will he be delivered? That is further explained very nicely in one song by Narottam Das Thakur, that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to reclaim the most fallen souls, durachar, by Harinam Sankirtan, by giving the holy names of Krishna to the fallen souls to chant. They deliver the fallen souls through the process of Krishna consciousness, and thus the fallen souls gradually awaken their dormant love for Krishna. Once in Bombay, one Indian gentleman approached Srila Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, Swamiji, only you can save me. Only you can deliver me. Please be merciful. Please save me." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "I cannot save you. Only you can save yourself. But I can give you the way by which you can save yourself." So the two lords, Gornitai, have descended in the age of Kali. Balaram Hoila Nitai, and they have brought Harinam Sankirtan to deliver the fallen souls. They give it to us freely, but still we have to take it. Another time in Bombay, one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, "Please be merciful and please give me your mercy so that I can follow your instructions." And Srila Prabhupada said, "My mercy is that I have given you my instructions. Now you have to follow them." And he gave the example that someone has fallen in a well, and a benefactor comes and hands down a rope. Now if the person in the well prays, "Please, please make my fingers curl around the rope." No. He has sent down the rope, but you have to hold on to it. So Srila Prabhupada said, "My mercy is that I've given you my instructions. Now you have to follow them. You can't pray to me to make you follow my instructions." So the Lord gives mercy, but we have to take it. And again, the qualification for taking it is humility. That is the meaning of pranipat. You will bow down when you're humble. If you're too proud, you won't bow down. You may know the story of Prahlad Maharaj, and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was a great demon and a powerful one. And he wanted his son Prahlad to become a materialist like him. But somehow, Prahlad, even though he was just a young boy of 5 years, somehow he became inclined towards Krishna consciousness. And devotional service to Vishnu. And somehow Hiranyakasipu was the deadly enemy of Vishnu, because Vishnu, in his incarnation of Varaha, just yesterday we observed Varaha Devadasi. So Vishnu, in his incarnation of Varaha, had killed Hiranyaksha, who was Hiranyakashipu's brother, another great demon. So Hiranyakashipu vowed to avenge his brother's death. So he considered Vishnu to be his worst enemy, because he had killed his brother. And he was determined to avenge his brother's death and kill Vishnu. Now, we sitting here as devotees may think how silly. Nobody can kill Vishnu. Vishnu is God. But we know Vishnu is God from the scriptures. But if one were to see Vishnu, of course, again, we would know that he's God from the descriptions of God in the scriptures. But otherwise, he looks like a human being. And although he could perform wonderful feats, any yogi or tapasvi who is serious enough in his or her practices can develop mystic powers. So Hiranyakasipu thought that Vishnu was a demigod, perhaps, who had mystic powers, and therefore he could do wonderful things. But Hiranyakasipu thought that he could do even greater things by his mystic powers or by getting boons from superiors. Anyway, when Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad, "What is the best thing you have learned in school?" You know, sometimes we ask a child, "What did you learn in school today?" or "What subjects do you like?" So he asked his son, 5-year-old boy, "What is the best thing you have learned?" And Prahlad replied, "Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Anivedanam." In other words, devotional service to Vishnu. And he said that one who knows devotional service to Vishnu is the best educated person. So Hiranyakasipu became furious, and he accused the boy's teachers of either misguiding him, and when they said, "No, we haven't taught him about devotional service to Vishnu," then he said, "Well, then you're allowing Vaishnavas to come in disguise and pollute his mind. And they said, no, we haven't. Then Hiranyakashipu asked, how did he become Krishna conscious? And the teachers replied, we don't know. You should ask him. So Hiranyakasipu asked Prahlad, and in reply, Prahlad ultimately said, Naishamatistavaru kramangrim sprishat yadartha agaimo yadartha. That unless one takes the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord on his head, he says, Padarajo Vishekam, bathes himself in the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, Niskinchana, who is completely free from material attachments, one cannot become Krishna conscious. Indirectly, he was saying to his father, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that my dear father, of course earlier he didn't say my dear father, he said Asuryavarya, the biggest of the demons. So that's how he addressed his father. He said, my dear biggest of the demons, you don't need to worry about becoming Krishna conscious, because you will never bow down to the lotus feet of a pure devotee, because you are too proud. So there's no chance that you will become Krishna conscious. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to ask me how to become Krishna conscious. So we come back to this point of falling down before Nityananda Prabhu, falling down before the servants of Nityananda Prabhu, before the representative of Nityananda Prabhu, before the spiritual master. That is the only way. And one who is proud will not bow down. Only one who is humble will bow down. There was once a young man. This is in the earlier days of the movement, 1968. So after Prabhupada's talk, all the disciples bowed down. And then Srila Prabhupada asked for questions. And the young man said, I see that all of your disciples are bowing down to you, but I don't want to bow down to anyone. Srila Prabhupada said, you've diagnosed your own disease. Then Srila Prabhupada said, you don't want to bow down, but you're forced to bow down. You go to work and you bow down before your boss, don't you? The young man said, yes, but that's material. But spiritually, I don't want to bow down to anyone. And Srila Prabhupada said, you don't want to, but you will be forced to. If you do, you have the choice. Either you voluntarily bow down to Krishna or Krishna's representative, or you'll be forced to bow down to repeated birth, disease, old age, and death. Bow down you must. You cannot avoid bowing down. So you have to see where you can bow down so that you can become happy. So that is our choice. Nobody can say, I refuse to bow down. We are forced to bow down. Every moment we're forced to bow down to the laws of nature and to the miseries of material existence. So it's not a question that we don't want to bow down or we do want to. We're forced to bow down. The question is, to whom to bow down or to what to bow down to become happy? And that is Krishna, Krishna's representative, Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that anyone, even if he's Durachar, sinful and fallen, if he falls down before Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu will deliver him. In his great humility, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami gives himself as an example that he even saved me. That is out of profound humility. But the famous example is Jagai and Madhai. The same song by Narottam Das Thakur says that they've come to deliver the sinful and fallen, and the proof is Jagai and Madhai. Tar Sakshi Jagai Madhai. They were the most sinful brothers, Jagai and Madhai, although they were born in Brahmin families, but they were the most sinful living beings. They were cheaters, thieves, womanizers, drunkards, and even murderers. So one day, Lord Chaitanya revealed to his intimate associates, to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, that he wanted to spread the Sankirtan movement through Navadvip. He wanted them to go from street to street, house to house, and implore the people to chant Krishna's name, to follow Krishna's instructions, and to worship Krishna. Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Koro Krishna Sika. So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur took up the order of the Lord, and they thought, well, whom should we approach? Then they thought, let's approach Jagai and Madhai, because they are the worst. They're the worst. And if we deliver them, then Lord Chaitanya's reputation as a greatly merciful and powerful incarnation will be spread. So they approached Jagai and Madhai, and Jagai and Madhai became infuriated. They blasphemed them, they abused them, and ultimately Madhai threw a clay pot that hit Nityananda Prabhu on the forehead and caused blood to flow. So the word spread, reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so furious that his devotee, Nitai, had been struck. He rushed to the spot and he summoned his Sudarshan Chakra, and he was ready to kill both of the offenders. But Nitai, Nityananda Prabhu, intervened. And he said to the Lord that, "My dear Lord, you have descended in Kali Yuga to save the fallen souls. Jagai and Madhai are representative of the fallen souls in Kali Yuga. If you kill them, you'll have to kill everyone. And then what will happen to your mission of delivering them?" So, by the merciful intervention of Nityananda Prabhu, even though he was physically attacked by the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya desisted. And seeing Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, the two brothers fell down. They fell down at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and asked for mercy. And because Nityananda Prabhu had been merciful to them, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy followed, and he forgave them. In fact, he even absorbed all of their sinful reactions. It's described that they had committed so many sins that Chandragupta, the scribe of Yamaraj who keeps track of all the sins, he couldn't keep up. He would be writing the sins, and in the meantime, they'd be committing more sins. He couldn't keep up. He almost had a nervous breakdown. You talk about stress in the office. He had so much stress trying to keep up with writing down the sins of these two fellows. So that's how sinful they were. But after they surrendered to Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and promised never to sin again, that's most important, they promised never to sin again, and they took up the holy name of the Lord, then Lord Chaitanya accepted all, absorbed all of their sins. Although Lord Chaitanya was of golden hue when he accepted the sins of these two sinful brothers, fellows, his beautiful golden body turned black for some time. They were so polluted with sinful reactions. And he absorbed them all. And they became great devotees. Jagai and Madhai became great devotees. So that is the process, that no matter how sinful you are, if you fall down before Lord Nityananda, he will deliver you. And when he is merciful to you, then Lord Chaitanya will automatically be merciful to you. But you have to take the mercy. You have to give up your sinful activities and chant the holy names. But if you do, you can be delivered, no matter how fallen and sinful you were before. So that is the merciful mission of Gaura Nithai, and especially Lord Nityananda is most merciful. And that is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Earlier, His Holiness Ganapati Swami Maharaj and I were talking that Srila Prabhupada is an empowered incarnation. There's a verse that comes later in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. That Sankirtan is the religious process for the age of Kali. Kalera Dharma Nama Sankirtan. And Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. That without being empowered by Krishna, no one can spread the Sankirtan movement. So no one really spread the Sankirtan movement like Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada spread it all over the world, which no one else ever did. So the conclusion is he was empowered. But if we analyze more closely, as one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers suggested, we can conclude that specifically he was empowered by Nityananda Prabhu to deliver the Durachara, the fallen and sinful. And he did. He was just like we read. It describes Nityananda Prabhu, but it could just as well describe Srila Prabhupada. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He spread Krishna consciousness without discrimination. He delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. One of our very good friends in Bombay, he's a wonderful devotee and also a leading industrialist, Rishikesh Mafatlal. He's initiated. And his initiated name is Krishna Chandra Das. But he was saying that he felt that every devotee should see the films that were taken of Srila Prabhupada when he first came to America, to see the people he was preaching to on the Lower East Side of New York and in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. He said, people cannot imagine who Srila Prabhupada was preaching to. He said, until you actually see the films, you cannot have any idea. And I actually do suggest it. It's beyond my power to describe the people that Srila Prabhupada went to when he first came to America. Just the fact that he went, that he lived among them, that he spoke with them, that he invited them and cooked for them is amazing. In fact, he was living in different places. He didn't even have his own place to stay. And at one stage he was staying with a young man who seemed to be interested. Prabhupada was hopeful he could train him as a Vaishnava, as a brahmachari. But one day he maybe took an overdose of LSD and he went crazy. And he wanted to attack Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada just had to run out of that place onto the streets of the Bowery, which is the worst part of New York, notorious all over the world. And he didn't know where to go. He had no place to go. And then he went to another young man's place, Carl Jurgens. He also had a loft, and Carl was living there. Carl approached Michael Grant, who later was initiated as Mukunda Das, and they rented a place for Srila Prabhupada so he could have his own place. But otherwise, he was actually living with these drug addicted hippies, you know, very liberal people, liberal in terms of their habits and morality. But he did that for us, just to save us. Of course, the whole history of Srila Prabhupada would take days to recount. In fact, probably Anantadev with his unlimited hoods could not finish speaking about the glories of Srila Prabhupada in unlimited time. But I'll just quote one little incident. One of Srila Prabhupada's early disciples from the Lower East Side of New York came to India. The movement was still quite new in India, but we had a center in Calcutta and a center in Bombay. And I think we also had a rented place in Delhi. Anyway, the temple president from Calcutta phoned and said that that early disciple was in Calcutta and he was smoking marijuana or hashish, ganja. And he didn't know what to do. So Srila Prabhupada's secretary took the phone call and explained the situation to Srila Prabhupada and asked what should we tell the temple president. He said, tell the temple president to tell that devotee that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him. And after the phone call, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, is that true that you would reject him? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I cannot reject anyone. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but isn't there a limit? Don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada replied, there's no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And he wanted us to have the same mood of giving mercy. Giving mercy means giving people the holy name. And most of the time they don't want to take it. So it really means somehow or other convincing them to take it, or somehow or other inducing them to take it, or somehow or other, like you were saying this morning, you know, about your meeting with Tamal Krishna Goswami. He said, just say two mantras. Bas. Just two mantras. Just to begin, somehow or other. So it's very difficult. Srila Prabhupada said that giving Krishna consciousness to people in Kali Yuga is like feeding medicine to a horse. It takes like eight people to feed medicine to a horse. One on each leg, one to hold the jaw down, you know, they're all, and then one to put the medicine in. That's how hard it is to get people to take to Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada did that. He said to make one disciple, he had to spend, how much? 8 pints of?
Yeah.
Gallons of blood, some, you know, Just to make one disciple, he had to spend gallons of blood. So he did that, and that's what he wanted us to do. So we come to the temple. It's very good. We give some donation. It's even better. But it should really be in our hearts to help others. We shouldn't, devotees are not selfish. I mean, people come to the temple with different motives, and it's good that they come. But really, a devotee has no selfish desire. His only desire is to serve Krishna and please Krishna. So people may come with any desire. They may pray, they may put money in the box, but what is their motive? Girl might want a husband. Husband might want a job. Child might want to pass exams. I mean, people can come with any desire and pray, do service, but their real goal is not to please Krishna, which is bhakti. Bhakti means to please Krishna. Their real goal is to get something for themselves. Like generally the demigod worshippers, they go to Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, and they offer something, but the intention is to get something in return. They're doing business, actually. They're just doing business. Prabhupada gives the example, like if you want to get a customer, so like you wine him and dine him, you give him gifts and everything, but the real goal is to get something for yourself, you know, something for your company. So he compared demigod worship to that. That, okay, you give them, you know, whatever, veil fruit or this flower, that. But it's just like someone who's, you know, like wining and dining a potential customer who wants to get an order. Not pure. So that's the general tendency in the worshippers of demigods. But people can even bring this same type of mentality to the temple of Krishna. That's okay. They've come. But the problem is that because their goal is material enjoyment, they're not likely to bow down. I mean, yeah, they might bow down like, you are going to fulfill my desire, aren't you? Aren't you? But they're not really going to fall down with heart, you know, because their goal is material satisfaction. It's only when someone is really humble and falls down before Nityananda Prabhu or his representative that one can be delivered. But still, it's good they come. Whatever they do is to their eternal credit. But it may take some time. But the real goal is to please Krishna. That, by definition, anya vilasita sunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulena, Krishna anushilanam, bhakti-yutam. The real goal of bhakti is to please Krishna. And the best way to please Krishna is to bring other people to him. I mean, yes, we should surrender to Krishna and be Krishna conscious, but then we should share what we've received with others and bring them to Krishna consciousness. That will please Krishna the most. And that's what distinguishes a devotee from a karmi or a jnani or a yogi. A devotee just wants to please Krishna. And the best way to please Krishna is to bring others to him. And therefore, you know, the genuine devotees do that. They work for that. Difficult as it is, they do. So in one lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles, he said that to approach Radha and Krishna, I mean, in a personal sense, that is the ultimate goal for the devotee, to approach Radha and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said, to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. So, so we're starting, you know, like way down here, you know, from one sense, starting way down here, we end up way up there. That is the extreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya and especially Lord Nityananda. There's another example. It's mentioned here how Preme Mata Nityananda, how he's intoxicated with love of God. This worship of Radha and Krishna is so high, it's not even there in other Vaishnava sampradayas. At least not in the same way. So it's very high. And when you get into it, it's, you know, gets even more specific. But anyway, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has raised this question, that how is it that this highest type of devotional service to Radha and Krishna, in the mood of the gopis, in other words. How is it that this highest type of devotional service is being offered to the most fallen people in Kali Yuga? How is it possible? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies that it's just like a king who becomes intoxicated, and he goes into his treasury and he takes out the most precious gems in his whole treasury, and he goes out on the street and starts giving them away to the poorest people on the street. How can you explain it? It's his choice. It's, they're his jewels. He can do with them what he wants. And so that example of being intoxicated, that's what we're reading about here. Preme Mate Nityananda, Kripa Avatar. That he's intoxicated with love of God. And he's the incarnation of mercy. And therefore he's delivering everyone without considering who is high and who is low. Anyone who falls down before him. And then anyone who gets Lord Nityananda's mercy will get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy they can get these most priceless jewels of devotional service. And that has been made possible to us and people all over the world by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So we are eternally indebted to him. I can't even express how indebted we are. And as he said, although we can never repay our debt to him, but if we have the mood of at least wanting to repay the debt, then we can do as he did. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. We can do as he did and try to spread Krishna consciousness, preach vigorously. So that should be our prayer. Of course, we all want Nityananda's mercy. Everybody wants Nityananda's mercy. We want the mercy to be able to chant the holy name and to be able to spread the mission, to engage others in chanting the holy name. And that will make Nityananda happy, and Gaurahari happy, and when they are happy, then everyone will be happy. We'll automatically be happy. Narottam Das Thakur prays, Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Kripa Bolo Kana Koro Ami Boro Dukhi. That you are always happy. Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. You are always happy in the bliss of love for Krishna, and I am very unhappy. So please cast your merciful glance upon me and make me happy. Now that might seem like a selfish desire, like we're saying pure devotees have no selfish desire. But really, the only way that we can be happy is by making Krishna happy. So, by the merciful glance of Lord Nityananda, we can chant the holy names of Krishna, spread the Sankirtan movement, make Krishna happy through disciplic succession, and that will, then we'll automatically be happy. And that is what Lord Nityananda wants. Wants just that everyone should be happy. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Wanted people to be happy. So, therefore our motto, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Be Krishna. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? I might just add a little note that what Maharaj said is true, that when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he was dealing with the lowest, like Allen Ginsberg described. And like Srila Prabhupada said to his godbrothers, I'm dragging them out of the gutter. And he was explaining his mission to them. But when Prabhupada went back to India, he preached widely, but he was also more like Lord Chaitanya there in the sense that he was dealing more with the leaders. But he was very concerned about everyone. But he didn't personally deal that much with the masses, but more with the leaders, because yad yada charity shrestas, whatever the leaders do, the masses follow. But he was concerned about the masses, and he thought the best thing for them would be farm, like self-sufficient farm communities, where they would grow whatever they needed to live and chant Hare Krishna. Because he could see that by them coming into the cities, working in factories, you know, then they get into intoxication, illicit sex, and sorts of bad things, and like really miserable. So he had programs for everyone, but there he personally dealt with the leaders. But like Maharaj said, he paraded us dancing white elephants that he brought from America, and that really captured their attention and imagination. And the common factor, wherever Srila Prabhupada preached, wherever Gaurinitai preached, was Krishna Prasada, which brings us to the next part of tonight's program. So we will say the Prasadam prayer, Because that's also a prayer to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and then we will honor Prasad.